You're listening to another inspiring teaching from Devonport Church of Christ, Tasmania, Australia. For more information about our church, please log on to www.devonportcoc.com.au.
After considering the events of the last few days and meeting with JJ's family yesterday and knowing that there are going to be people at our second service today who don't really have a faith or know anything much about Christianity are going to be here, I cut my Amos message. I thought it was going to be a good message. And if anyone wants a copy of it, I can email it to you. But it may never see probably the light of day. And that's okay. It'd be so easy to think that God's just wound up the world like a clock, and it's just ticking away, tick 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 tock, and he doesn't really care, or and the world's just sitting back watching it, the life just tick away, and God's like removed and he's like disconnected from all the mayhem and the havoc and the pain of what happens on this big blue planet called Earth. And you could be forgiven for thinking that God has forgotten us and left us to our own devices to process a week that we've just experienced. And I wish pastor should turn his phone off. I'm just not across every detail that I normally am today. And I think that I ask, when like one of my own kids asked the question, well, the God who causes the wind, the God who makes the wind, he creates the wind. How do you explain that? And you could think that, my goodness, we're just alone. But then I read Luke's account of the Christmas story and the very first Christmas, and we're reminded that maybe God has not forgotten us. Maybe this whole Christmas thing that we've celebrated, so many of us, for so long, maybe it has very little to do with happy holidays and turkeys and presents and shopping malls and nice decorations and the placements of your guests around a table and the dinner menu or visiting the Outlaws. But maybe it has everything to do with a plan that God has been hatching since day dot. Maybe Christmas is about God doing something about the pain and about the darkness and the hassles in our world. And I think that's why the unadulterated Christmas story speaks to me so powerfully, because I think we all can relate to the circumstances of the very first Christmas. So many problems and so many circumstances and so many hassles and so much pain and oppression under a cruel Roman Empire. God has been silent for 400 years. The prophets' mouths are closed. And the first hassle, you know, think about Mary's pregnancy. Joseph and Mary were betrothed, but they weren't officially married. And Joseph was ready to call the whole thing off. You would, wouldn't you? After an angel explained the situations, hey, Joe, your wife is pregnant. You know, how would he explain the situation to his family, to mum and dad and the rest of the family? I bet he would like the angel to visit them as well to explain the situation. That probably would have been helpful in the whole scheme of things. Imagine the hassle Mary endured. She's an unwed mother, the hassle of a wedding, the whispers and the guessing. Why Joseph would do such a thing, or who would have thought such a thing of as from a nice little girl like Mary. But we know that in the story that the hassles are just beginning. Not long after the wedding, the emperor made every male Israelite to return to their birthplace, their hometown, and pay a new tax. Like as a bill Joseph hadn't planned on paying. I don't know about you. I got an unexpected Christmas bill in the last couple of weeks, and it's like, didn't see that coming. I can sort of relate to that. This extra expense, and now this trip, and they need to take. I mean, the hassles of Christmas bills and Christmas trips, it sort of sounds familiar. But somehow Joseph scrounges up the money they had, and they head out for Bethlehem, and where they meet another hassle. There's just no accommodation, which is really weird because here's a guy from the town of David, from the line of David. It's family homecomings and reunions, and the guy can't get a bed. Interesting. And then Joseph settles for the only accommodation available, a stable or maybe even a cave. And in this dirty stable or cave surrounded by stinking animals, without a doctor, without a nurse, without an epidural, Mary gives birth. Years ago, there was an interesting sign that was seen hanging in a store window during the Christmas season, and the original message stated, "Let's make this the best Christmas ever." And underneath, some perceptive person had scribbled out and wrote a legitimate question: how will we top the first one? I like that, because maybe we can relate to the circumstances surrounding the first Christmas, because you seem maybe to be in a world of darkness and uncertainty. I remember the first time I ever, as a child, read the Christmas story, particularly Luke chapter 2, 8 to 11, and I remember the feeling of being overwhelmed by the message of the angel to the shepherds. And Luke's account says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people, that today in the town of David a Savior has been born to you, and he is Christ the Lord.'" And I think it'd be fair to say that the shepherds were not expecting this. They were not a spiritually minded bunch. After all, their probably deepest theological conversations were with sheep. But for God, this was not a random choice. God sent angels to shepherds. Like, to God, nobodies are somebodies. And to God, each one needs to hear the good news. "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy." And I don't know about you, but the world I live in is filled with a lot of fear. The last 24 months have been filled with so much fear. People are fearful, full of anxiety and worry. Do you know, according to Beyond Blue website, anxiety is the most common mental health condition in Australia. On average, 1 in 4 people, 1 in 3 women, and 1 in 5 men will experience anxiety at some stage in their life. You know, in a 12-month period, over 2 million Australians experience anxiety. I think it's higher than that, maybe. Children as young as 5 years old are being treated for anxiety problems. The world, I don't need to sell this to you this week, the world is full of bad news. That's why the 6 o'clock news stays in business. That's why they still sell newspapers. Why? Because bad news sells, and the world is full of bad news, and yet Devonport has been the center of that in the last couple of days. But I was watching TV and I discovered something, that there's a whole lot of other bad news around the world. There were a whole lot of other tragedies that took place in Japan and all around the world in the last couple of days. You don't watch the news to be encouraged. The world is full of reasons to be afraid, sad, depressed, and overcome. But that's not the message of Christmas. And God's message at the first Christmas was a message that was full of joy. After 400 years, God is up to something new. God is doing something. And the source of joy at the first Christmas was not your new car. Was not your new kitchen. Was not your new holiday house. It was not a successful business. It was not getting into the university. It was that of your dreams. It was not a Crisco Christmas. It was a baby. The baby. The most subversive thing in the world. And did you also notice that the message that the angels gave to the shepherds is for all people? It's for all people. It doesn't matter what your address is, what you wear, where you were born, or your education, or your bank account balance. It's not dependent upon what school you went to, whether you're black or white, gay or straight, from the north, east, south or west. It doesn't matter whether you're poor, divorced, defiled, depressed, debilitated, or being defriended on Facebook. This is good news for all. It's good news for all people and all nations. It's a message of peace and joy. And who doesn't need that message right now? Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, and he is Christ the Lord. Like probably many of you, I've been present for all my child's births. Such remarkable miracles, each and every one of them. However, I've never ever thought of them as being my Savior. No, I live with them. They are special people who I love dearly, but they are also human beings / sinners like everybody else. My kids, like your kids, have not been born into royalty or riches, maybe good looks, but you know, my kids were born in a sterile Ballarat-based hospital, and you know, where was my first? Yeah, he was born in New Zealand, wasn't he? Nelson Hospital. And Ballarat Base Hospital, I got to tell you, they were sterile places. They were reliable hospitals full of medical practitioners with the latest technology. But God decides that the Savior of our world should be born in very, very different arrangements. I mean, I think as being a mother who's just about to give birth, or that should just mess with your head of what we desire for our kids and what the Son of God was born into. I mean, if you were God sending your Son, where would you send him? You'd send him to the best. And yet God sent his Son to a humble, unimpressive couple, really, to a dingy, dirty feeding trough in a cow stall behind an inn or behind something. He sends the message of his birth to a group of stinky, rough shepherds, that this in every way is the King of the people. He's not born to privilege or power. And God's presence is enacted among us in humility. A Savior has been born to you, and he is Christ the Lord. I think the Christmas message is so clear and yet also divisive. Firstly, we need a Savior, and secondly, his name is Christ Jesus. And what I've just said can be offensive to many. You know, don't you tell me that I need saving. Don't you tell me, don't Bible bash me about needing to invite Jesus into my life. The Christmas message is so politically incorrect. But I think it's always been politically incorrect. That's what it tells us here in John, John 1, 4-5, it says, "In him was life, and that life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it." In John 8:12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world, and whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And again, in John 12:46, Jesus declared, "I've come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness." I have to tell you, church, that there are so many people in our city of Devonport who are just so broken and lost. Sit down with a chaplain from Devonport Chaplaincy for 5 minutes. Sit down with my wife from Reece High for 5 minutes. Some of these families who have lost children, do you know, they don't know what to do next. They don't know who do I contact, what do I do? They don't know. They don't know how to do it. I had a family member ask me, "I just need to know one thing. Where is JJ?" Well, I know where she is now, but where really is she? And I said, "Oh, that's really easy for me to tell you. She's with Jesus Christ right now, and she's safe." And she said, "That's all I needed to know. That's all I needed to know." And the best that the world can come up with is, "You better watch out, and you better not cry. You better not pout, because I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town." And let me tell you, church, if that's the best who's coming to Devonport this Christmas, we're stuffed. If that's the best that the world can offer to this city this Christmas, he's making a list and he's checking it twice and he's going to find out he's naughty and nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. Like, he sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake. It's like a cute little song, but really bad theology. What's the bad theology of that song? Think about it. What does the song say deserves to be accepted and receive Santa's gifts? Only those who've done good. In other words, only the righteous deserve acceptance. Only the good will receive this Christmas gift. And let me tell you, friends, if that's the message of Christmas, then I'm in a lot of trouble personally. And I'm guessing you are too, because I've been found on the naughty list in my life too many times I care to remember. You see, it's been said that anyone can devise a plan by which good people may go to heaven. Only God can devise a plan whereby sinners who are his enemies can go to heaven. If Christmas is the promise, Easter is the proof. Only God can devise a plan by which people who have made terrible decisions in their lives could receive hope, mercy, and forgiveness. And that's what's frustrated the Pharisees of Jesus' day. I mean, here was Jesus spending his time with those who had been naughty. Not nice. And Jesus ate with the prostitutes and tax collectors and sinners. And these were folks that, according to the religious establishment, should have received a lump of coal in their stocking. The message of the light that came into the dark world was this, that you can't be good enough to be good enough to be acceptable to God. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And that's the message that our city needs more than ever this Christmas. Jesus is the hope of the world. Jesus is the hope of our city. And the essence of Christmas is that Jesus, the light of the world, has come into the world to dispel the darkness and to save humankind. And this light shines brighter than any Christmas tree, Christmas lights, or Rudolph's nose. A light so, so bright that it destroys the shadow and darkness of even sin, despair and death. The great theologian N.T. Wright said this: Christmas is not a reminder that the world is really quite a nice place. It reminds us that the world is a shockingly bad old place. And Christmas is God lighting a candle. And you don't light a candle in a room that's already full of sunlight. The family was holidaying at the lake one summer, and Dad had been working by the boathouse, and two of his sons, a 12-year-old and a 3-year-old, were down playing along the water at the dock. And the 12-year-old was supposed to be watching his little brother, but he got distracted. And the 3-year-old little Billy thought that it would be a good time to check out the shiny aluminium fishing boat tied up at the end of the dock. And so he went to the dock and he put one foot on the dock and he had one foot on the boat. And he lost his balance and he fell into the water, which was about 5 or 6 feet deep. And the splash alerted the 12-year-old brother, who let out a piercing scream. And Dad came running from the boathouse and he jumped into the water and he swam down. But he was unable to see anything. So he came back up for air. So he, sick with panic, and he went right back down into this murky water, and he began to feel around everywhere around the bottom, and he couldn't feel anything. But finally, on his way back up, he felt little Billy's arms locked in the death grip on one of the posts of the dock, about 4 feet under the water. And prying the boy's fingers loose, they burst up together through the surface to fill their lungs with life-giving air. So finally, when the adrenaline had stopped surging and nerves calmed down a little bit, the father asked his son, "What on earth were you doing down there, hanging on to the post so far under the water?" And little Billy's answer was a classic, laced with the wisdom only a toddler could give. He said, "I was just waiting for you, Dad, just waiting for you." You know, like over 2,000 years ago, the God of the universe left the glory and the splendor of heaven, a place where there was no pain, no sickness, no accidents, no hurt, and no death. And he plunged into this dark and in murky world on a rescue mission, for all of us who were drowning. A rescue mission for all of us who are barely hanging on. A rescue mission for all of us who are lost in the darkness. I think the message is clear. The message is good news for all, that Christmas presents, that God is with us. Emmanuel, that God is with us. That even though it can seem like at times, on a week like we've just had, where is God? Why would God? We have the Christmas story that reminds us that God has indeed not forgotten us. That God, on that very first Christmas, got intimately involved in the darkness of this world, and he sent his son Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ is the hope of this world. That Jesus Christ is the hope of every single person in this city of Devonport this Christmas. And that God wants to use us to be his hands and feet. It's remarkable to me And I guess I'm such a, you know, such a churched person. Of course I am. As a pastor, you'd hope so. It just baffles me how that kids in school, in primary school, they have no idea what the Christmas story is about. They have no idea about Jesus coming. They think that Christmas is all about Santa Claus. It's incredible to hear some of the stories of if you ask, what's Christmas, and they don't know the story. We've lost something. Our society is, as we become post-Christian society, we've lost the message. We have a responsibility, church. We all have a responsibility to open our mouths and to speak and to be the hands and feet of Jesus. People's lives are depending on it. People's eternal lives are depending upon it.